Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bible to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're continuing our series on the ABCs of stewardship. And I just want to say a little bit about pastor appreciation. It is a joy to be your pastor. Rebecca and I love living here in Wyoming, love living here in Casper, being your pastors. And I know Pastor Todd and Angela like being here too, and they endure me. But I praise God for them. I appreciate them very, very much. They're fantastic staff. And I just want to say ahead of time, thank you for your kindness and your generosity. But it is a joy to be your pastors, and thank you for making it a joy. I want to start out with a story this morning from the children's book, Leo the Late Bloomer. Okay, Leo the Late Bloomer. Yeah, I know, I always start out my messages in a very profound way, okay? But in Leo the Late Bloomer, Leo's father is worried because the little guy can't read, he can't write, and he shares his anxiety with his wife, Leo's mom, and they talk about it, and she says, you know, just give him some time. Just let it happen. Don't watch over him like a hawk, but just let it happen. And as the story goes on, it kind of goes through the school year, and by the end of the book, Leo is reading and writing, and he runs into his dad, and he says, I've got it. I've made it. I've made it. And there may be some of you here today that maybe spiritually you feel like a late bloomer, okay? There are some people I have seen, they receive Christ in their life, and I mean, they just begin growing, and God does great things in their life, and they're excited, and you know, they just take off and go for it. Then there's other people, they come to Christ, and it's just kind of like, not a lot happens. Not a lot takes place in their life, and maybe you're a late bloomer. Maybe you feel like since coming to Jesus, I really haven't gotten a hold of this. I really don't feel I'm growing. Well, I just want to encourage you to not give up. And here's something I have realized. When we focus on stewardship, a lot of times during the weeks of stewardship, that's when people have a growth spurt and take off and grow the most. Because there's something that happens when you and I realize that God owns it all. And it all belongs to God, and I am just to give it all back to Him. And I begin to consecrate myself and say, God, I'm giving you all of me. It just starts a spiritual growth spurt, and you take off and go forward when you come to that realization and it makes an impact on your life. Now, in our text this morning, we're going to read about two separate events, and they may not seem related, but they are directly related to each other. The first one we're going to look at is Jesus interacting with the children. Parents came and bring their kids to Jesus, and Jesus, you know, sits them on their lap, and he's going to talk about that. And then there's an incident that takes place right after that, and that is with the rich young ruler. Now, if you're new to church, or you haven't been to church in a long time, we want to welcome you. I want you to know we are glad you're here. And as we read through this story, you might say, no, wait a second, Craig. There's not going to mention anything that this rich guy is young or that he's a ruler. So why do you call him a rich young ruler? And you know what? You would be absolutely right to say that because it doesn't tell us that here. But when you take a look at two other gospels, it records this same event. And it's what people call a parallel passage, a parallel account. It's the same account, but it describes different details. And in Luke 18:18, and you might want to just write this down so you can look it up. In Luke 18:18, it tells us that this guy is a ruler, this rich man is a ruler. And then in Matthew 19:22, it tells us that he's young. All right, so that's how we know he's a rich young ruler. So we're going to pick it up now in verse 13 of Mark chapter 10, and let's take a look at that this morning. It says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he answered to him and says, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, just a little background here on the rich young ruler. First of all, he was rich. He was wealthy. And here's the thing about wealth. Wealth gives you options, okay? If you have lots of wealth, then you can decide. You have a lot of options to you. After church, you can decide, do I want to go to Red Lobster or Silver Fox or fast food? You have options. Now, if you don't have a lot of money, then you're probably stuck with McDonald's value meal, okay? Wealth opens up options to us. And here's the thing. This rich young ruler, he could probably look at life every day and he could decide, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He had everything at his fingertips. He was self-sufficient. Now, what we do with our wealth can either be a blessing for God's kingdom or a detriment to it. I want you to hear me closely. There is nothing wrong with wealth and possessions. There is nothing inherently wrong with wealth or possessions. The question isn't, do you have possessions? The question is, do your possessions have you? Do your possessions control you? Are they ruling your life? Are they the guiding force? Your possessions, and possessions just aren't your finances. For some of us, it's our time. For some of us, it's our abilities and our talents, and those things drive us. Once there was a fly that landed on some fly paper, and he said, "I like it here so much, I'm just going to stay a while." Now, you and I both know that's not true. He was stuck there, and sometimes when our possessions have us, it is hard to admit it. And my prayer is today is that if your possessions are in control of your life, that the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal that to you and show you, because it is a trap. And what happens to a fly in flypaper? It's not a pretty picture. And the same thing happens to us. So in this story, this man of possessions, he had lots of options. Number two, he's a ruler, so he has influence. And a lot of times with that comes respect and prestige and power and esteem from other people. So he had that going for him. Number three, he had good moral character. He was a nice guy. He's the kind of guy that, you know, if you're gone on vacation, you want him to kind of look after your house. You know, come on over, water my plants, you know, take care of the pets, feed the fish, whatever. He's the kind of guy that, you know, people liked him and looked up to him. And then last of all, he was young, so he had his whole life in front of him. He had a lot of potential. So that's a little bit about his background. Now, let's take a look at your notes this morning. In your bulletin, on the back page is our message section. And what does the rich young ruler have? There's four things he has. The first one, if you're taking notes, is courage. He has courage. How do we know this? Because he was a ruler, and most of the rulers during Jesus' time were plotting against Jesus. They were against Jesus. They're trying to look for a way to overthrow him. Or if you were a ruler that liked Jesus, then you were like Nicodemus. You came secretly at night because you didn't want anyone else to know it. And so this young man, he comes in broad daylight seeking Jesus. He has courage. The second thing he has is he is eager to learn. The rich young ruler is eager to learn. Look at verse 17. Now, as he, Jesus, was going out on the road, one came running. Now, when you read verse 17, it sounds like Jesus has just finished with the children, and now Jesus is leaving the community. He's going out on the road to go to another location, another city, some other destination. And what does the rich young ruler do? He comes running, sprinting. Now, think about rulers. Rulers are dignified. You know, they have their suit coats buttoned. And they come walking, you know, dignified in a procession or something like that. But here is a young guy. He doesn't care what he looks like. He runs. He is so eager to have this conversation with Christ. He's eager to learn. A third thing about him is humility. It says also in verse 17, as he was going out in the road, one came running and knelt before him. So he kneels before Christ and he says, "Good teacher, what shall I may do to inherit eternal life?" And I find it interesting, what is Jesus' response? No one is good. Now, he says, "I'm not good. No one is good." Now, here's Jesus, the Son of God. He's perfect. I mean, is he good? You better believe he's good. So why did Jesus say, "I'm not good"? Because here's the thing. In the rich young ruler's eyes, Jesus was just a man. He was not God. And so he's thinking men are good. And what Jesus is trying to get to him, the lesson is that, hey, men are not good. Men by nature are sinners and they need a Savior. And so Jesus is communicating that. And just a side note, all of us here today are sinners. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't make me perfect. Isn't that right, family? Boy, you should see their heads nodding. Man, you agreed way too easily with that. None of us are good. All of us are sinners. That's why Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross, because all of us are going to hell unless we accept him as our Lord, the leader of our life, and the forgiver of our sins. And so that's why Jesus said that, if you're wondering. But this young man, he is desperate for answers. In fact, as a ruler, he's probably used to people coming to him for answers. And now the guy who has all the answers has all the questions. And he's humble and he's trying to learn about them. Number four, the ruler is transparent. This guy is transparent. He's open. He's genuine, he's real. He says, "Hey, I need help. I need help. It's not working in my life." And so if we would stop right here and we look at him and say he has courage, a teachability, eager to learn, he's humble, he's transparent, we would say this guy has a lot going for him. He's a lot going for him. But if you remove the fancy clothes, if you go behind the veneer, behind his personality or everything, and cut straight to his heart, we realize this guy has a heart issue. He has some big-time needs. And in your notes, there's three needs. What does he need? Number one, he needs spiritual satisfaction. He needs spiritual satisfaction because he was frustrated. This man did not come to Jesus out of a sense of guilt. He has his act together. And yet he knows, I have all of this money, and I'm a ruler. I have all this esteem and this prestige and this standing in the community, but I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. My life is empty. It's missing something. And he says, "I have no idea how to get satisfaction. I don't know what's wrong." There is frustration in his life and not satisfaction. The second thing he was in need of was spiritual maturity. He needed spiritual maturity. He was immature. Now, when it comes to life skills, to relationships, to decision making, he had it all together. But in the spiritual arena, he was immature. Because when Jesus told him to keep all the commandments, what does he say in verse 20? He answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." I want you to think about that. He's kept all the commandments, all of them. He's naive. You know, at first appearance, it looks like he's good. But friends, there was one big time commandment he was missing, and that's having no other gods before him. You see, God was not the most important thing in his life. It was his possessions, it was his reputation, it was everything he had, and that was the number one commandment that he was breaking, is that God is not number one. He was not consecrated to God. And as we're talking about the ABCs of stewardship, letter A, the first week we learned about was what? You forgot. Letter A is attitude. The letter B last week, I'm not even going to ask you for this, I don't want to get embarrassed again, is blessings. And the letter C is consecration. Consecration. And this young guy was immature because he did not have God as first place in his life. And then the third need he had was spiritual dependence, because he was independent. Here, look at verse 17. He says, "What shall I do?" That's the wrong question to ask, because there is nothing you and I can do to inherit eternal life. This is the question he should have asked: what shall I be? What shall I be? Because here's the thing, too many of us are trying to do stuff that God never intended us to do, and what God is more concerned about than what you and I do is who you and I are. I'm thinking that this guy needed to experience Valentine's Day. Okay, now I know a few days from now, it's Halloween. You might think I've got the wrong holiday, but what do you say on Valentine's? What's a common phrase besides "I love you"? Be mine, okay? And that's what he needed. He needed to be Jesus. Jesus saying, "Be mine. Give yourself completely in control to me." And that's what he needed to do, is to be Christ's and let Jesus own it all, to be consecrated to him. But instead, he's depending on himself for fulfillment in life. And this isn't in your notes, but write this down. For Jesus, the source of fulfillment is dependence on God. And if you're looking for fulfillment in life, if you're looking for satisfaction, then that comes from depending on God. It doesn't come from money. It doesn't come from prestige. It doesn't come from what you accomplish in school or in music or on the football field or on the tennis court. It doesn't come from what you attain in your business. Fulfillment in life comes from depending completely on God. And that's what this rich young ruler needed. He needed spiritual dependence. And that's why, as we look at verse 14, as we backtrack, look at verse 14, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." We need to be like little children. And what's one of the major characteristics about little children? They're trusting. They're dependent. I was looking for a picture of this, and I couldn't find it, okay? So, my bad, but there was a game I played with my kids when they were little, and we called it hands, okay? I would lay on the floor, and I'd put my hands behind me. And then my kids would stand on my hands, and then I'd lift my legs up, and they would put their hands on my toes so they'd get their balance, and then I'd lift them up in the air, and then they would completely let go of my feet, and they're just standing on my hands as I'm on my back holding them up in the air. And as they got taller, they tried to touch the ceiling. But, you know, and we would see how long they could stand there. And here's the thing about the hands game. My kids were completely trusting me at that moment. You know, if I wanted to, I could have said, "Man, I'm going to teach them a lesson." Wham! And throw it out from underneath them. But they didn't do that. Why? Because they knew, I can trust my Father completely. And friends, that's the point Christ wants us to come to. That we trust Him completely. That's what Father God's heart is for us. That we can trust Him. And friends, That's what Jesus wanted for the rich young ruler, because Jesus knew you can't make it in this life if you don't fully trust me, if you fully don't depend upon me. The rich young ruler was saying, you know what? I can make it without God. I have homes, I have properties, I have possessions, I have family. Who needs God? And he's like some Christians this morning that say, you know what? I have everything that's under control. I don't really need God in my life. And here's the thing. For some of us, the most we ever involve God in our life is when we ask him to bless our food at the dinner table. I want to ask you this morning, are you attempting anything for God that is so big that if he doesn't come through, you will fail? Or are you just playing it safe in life? Because I know some people say, I don't have time to really do anything in ministry. I don't have the talent, the ability. I can't give to one day. I can't make it. Friends, the question is not what can you do, but what can God do through you? And some of us never give God a chance to speak to us about being used for him in his kingdom because we're depending on ourselves to take care of it all. And we're afraid to hear his voice and say, okay, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to give, how I'm going to minister, how I'm going to reach out, how I'm going to touch people, but I will do it because I'm depending on you. That is the point that we need to come to in our lives. This is in your notes. Jesus knew the rich young ruler needed to give up control in order to be consecrated to God. Jesus knew that he needed to give up control in order to be consecrated to God. And here's the thing. When we encounter a situation in our lives that we don't understand, and it doesn't make sense, and it looks like everything is falling apart, those are the times that it's hard to trust God. When you're depending on God and you still lose everything financially. You're depending on God and your loved one still dies, or your marriage still ends up in divorce. When you're trusting in God and it doesn't make sense, and everything falls apart, will you still be consecrated and say, Lord, I trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I'm not going to try to figure anything else out. Will we trust him? That's what Jesus is looking for. Jesus said something to the rich young ruler. How do you get consecrated? Look at verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, look at this, loved him. Jesus knew what he was going to do, and he's not frustrated. He's not angry. Jesus knows how messed up and how his priorities are on a line, but Jesus still loves him. And no matter how messed up you have been, I want you to know Jesus still loves you, and he's still reaching out to you. Jesus goes on to say, and notice, Jesus isn't forcing him. He's just giving them this opportunity, and he says, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. Jesus is saying, hey, hang out with me. Walk with me. You're going to see things that blow your mind. You're going to do things you never thought were possible, and you're going to have a fulfillment that you never realized you've in your entire life. Yet I think this rich young ruler, when he first heard go and sell, I'm not sure if he even heard the rest, because he's thinking, what? Lose it all? How can I do that? Friends, there is nothing wrong with having possessions. But do your possessions have you? Last week we showed the partnership pyramid. And we talked about how God gives to other people and he gives to me. God gives us all of our blessings. That's what we learned last week. Everything belongs to God. And what God asks us to do is to give back to him. And then also to give others, because I have things that other people don't have, and if I don't give it, they need it, and vice versa. God hasn't given me what he's given you on your journey because our journeys are different, and I don't need what you need for your journey, and you don't need what I need for my journey. So we have to give to each other and give back to God, and when we accomplish that partnership, God does great things. Now, the question is, how are we living in light of this partnership? There's three levels of control that you and I can live with. The first level of control, it's there in your notes, is that God controls everything. And you could say that this mindset is a pipeline mindset, okay? Because you see, God puts in up here, he gives to us, and we say, God, whatever you give to me, I am open and willing to pass it all completely to you. You can, it goes straight on through. There's no bottlenecks. God, you give me time, I'll give you my time if you ask for it. You give me possessions, you give me wealth, I'll give it back to you. You give me talent, ability, what's yours is mine. You've given it to me, and now I'm giving it right back to you. God controls. That is the first mindset. A second mindset is I control. And you could call this a funnel mindset. Because look at this. Here, God has given me about as much as he's given the pipeline person, but then I say, okay, I am going to restrict what I give out because I've got to protect my money and protect my time, protect my abilities, because if I give out too much, I'm not going to have enough left to take care of me. And so I'm in control of my life. But friends, when we do that, we're dealing not in the way God wants us to. There was several years ago when my wife and I felt God saying, I want you to give regularly. And we gave regularly to Sunday school and to the midweek service, but we budget our money, okay? And there was a certain amount of fun money that each of us had for a month, and it wasn't a lot, but it's like what we went on dates for, wanted to do special things, and we budgeted that. And I felt God say to me, Craig, I want you to take your fun money and give your offerings, the offerings to Sunday school, the offerings to midweek and Sunday night, that kind of thing. I want you to use your fun money. And here's the thing. I had already felt strapped in my fun money allowance. We didn't have any more to budget. I already felt strapped. And I said, God, I can't do that. And he says, I want you to do it. So it's like, okay, God, even though it's mine, I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to be a pipeline. So I started giving my own money. Do you know at the end of the year, I had an abundance of fun money stacked up? And in the year before, I barely had enough. And friends, it does not make sense. I don't know how it happened, but it just happened. And the thing is, when God says to you, give, whether it's money or time or talent, don't say, but I can't. Really what you're saying is, I won't. Because friends, when God is your source and he says, you know what, Craig's going to give what I give him, then God says, I'm just going to expand that pipeline and make it bigger. Give and it's given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's how our God works. But I have to be consecrated to him. There's a third level, and friends, this is the most dangerous level of all, is where possessions control. And my possessions, they're in charge of my life. I'm almost addicted. It may be addicted to the power I have in my office. I'm addicted to shopping, to buying things, addicted to always having, man, a brand new golf clubs came out. I had to get them the brand new gun, got to get the new gun. The brand new camper, got to get the new camper. I always got to have more. What I have is not enough. And here's the thing. There is not a long distance from the second level of the funnel to the third level of addiction. Because when you're saying I'm in control, it can just be a few steps away from those things taking control of your own life. Some reactions to the rich young ruler. You see, the rich young ruler rejected Jesus. He rejected selling out everything and being consecrated. What happened? Verse 22 says, the rich young ruler was sad. He walked away being sad. Jesus was sad because he saw this young guy, he saw his potential, his abilities, and he basically turned his back on God and never did anything with it. The disciples, they were shocked and astonished in verse 24. And do you know why? Because the tradition they grew up in, this is what they were taught. The richer you are, the more of God's favor you have. The more blessings you have, the more that means God likes you. That's kind of what Job was dealing with. When Job lost everything, they says, okay, you've lost God's favor. You're a sinner, because otherwise God wouldn't have taken that from you. And that was the mindset back then. So when they see this rich young ruler who has all these possessions and everything going for him, and Jesus said, it's tough for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. They're going, that just turned to 180. They're saying, how? Because I thought if you're rich, that meant you were going to heaven. And Jesus says, uh-uh. Jesus said, it's the person who's consecrated to me. And so the disciples were astonished. And here's the last reaction. Your reaction. How do you feel when you read the story and he's told to give up everything? Are you sitting there saying, come on, do it. Give it all. Because if you give it all, you're going to have something greater than you ever thought of. Or you're saying, oh man, I feel sorry. That was so tough for him. I know he should, but do you just kind of cringe when you read it? Because if you cringe when you read it, then that's an indication that God isn't in control of everything in your life. Jesus said in Mark 10:31, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Friends, if we put ourselves first in life, we're going to always end up being the end. But when we put God first and ourselves last, God has a way of turning the tables and blessing us.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.